How good was that, eh? I can't believe all the little touch points that they got in there. Well, welcome everyone here this morning, and for those online, it's great to be here. And I guess if we're going to talk about prayer, maybe that's a good place to start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the chance that we get to come here and do this in community. We get to do it in person, online. And Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us, myself included, as we move this time through this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, do your shoulders slump? Does your stomach twist? Do your knees buckle when your prayer life gets compared to a great intercessor? I've got to tell you, mine do. I am just a fellow struggler like you. I always find when someone gives you a sermon topic, it's usually humorous. So today, I hope that as we journey, I get as much out of this as you do. Intercession. Great example, just the other day. I've been trying to get my mother booked into respite from tomorrow since February. The last time I did that, I did it in 5 days' notice. It was sort of an urgent thing, and we got it. This time we went through every nursing home in Launceston. Nothing. And I was sharing this with Jenny Gardam. And Jenny said, oh, would you like me to put it on the prayer chain? I said, yeah, yes, please. So straight away, out with the phone. The next day, I got a phone call saying, guess what? And that was the deadline. That day was the deadline for me to cancel my airfares because I couldn't go and leave Mum alone. And I got a call saying, well, guess what? The last one's come through, and the lady was as excited as I was. I think she didn't want to face that phone call with me. And I just walked up past Jenny and went, and she knew exactly what it was, and she went on and let everyone know. And then on the Sunday, I had all these people coming out and saying, how good is that? And it's community. So, what does it mean to be an intercessor? Dictionary simply says this: one who intervenes on behalf of another, especially in prayer. That boils it down nicely, doesn't it? Great intercessors. No, it means someone, anybody who intervenes on behalf of another person, particularly in prayer. Tyler Stanton, in his book that Jess held up before and saved me doing that, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, says that intercession is for everyone. Intercession is for everyone. It is ordinary love combined with sober humility. It's just ordinary love combined with a sober humility. And Jesus points to this position in humility in the verses that lead up to the prayer that we've been working through over these weeks. And in Matthew 6, 5 and 7, Jesus says, and whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues or at the street corners so that they can be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. So, there is no spectacular involved in being an intercessor. In fact, it's the opposite, Jesus says. Jesus says this is a private deal with you and him. How do we feel about praying for others now? If I was to say to you, you are an intercessor or you can be an intercessor, can we do it? Thanks for that one. Christy, you're the leader. You should have said, well done. She's up to her task. Can we do this?
Yes.
And online, I'm sure you said yes. But do we have time? Ah, we've always got to have a little excuse, haven't we? I play golf. I'm a master of excuses. So many of us do lead busy lives, but instead of ignoring that, we need to embrace that and just see it honestly. How can we be an intervener? How can we be an intercessor? Rick Warren, an accomplished pastor and author, says, if you haven't got enough time to do God's business, it's not a time issue, it's a management issue. Ouch. It's not a time issue, it's a management issue. He says, God won't ask us to do something we're not capable of doing. He may ask us to stop doing some of the things we're doing in order to do the God things that he would like. How unfair is that? Facebook, TikTok, TokFlip, whatever. Netflix, KO, golf, fishing, cars, gardening. How rude is that? You know, Jesus was no less busy. We tend to think that all he had to do all day was just wander along with his disciples, just talking, kicking the dust. We have no idea of the pressure he was under unless you hone in on some of those pieces in the Bible where the throngs were pressing in, constantly wanting this, wanting that, wanting something else. He lived a busy life. We just don't read it that way. In the early part of the New Testament, we see many, many places in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of where his life was so pressured that he had to take extraordinary lengths to get time to get and pray with his Father. And in Mark, we read of one of these occasions, the last occasion that's recorded. And it says, they went to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, not what I want, but what you want. It's a great example of making time and modelling what he taught. Not my way, Lord, but your way. You know, thankfully, late nights and early mornings aren't the only time that we can be interceding. Could we pray when we have a coffee? When we chill with a cup of tea? Could we pray in our lunch break? What about the toilet? Come on, who's prayed on the toilet? And do you have that moment where it feels awkward? And then you go, God, it's better that I'm talking to you now than not talking at all. In the shower. I find the shower is a great place. I don't have many vices in life, but hot water and showers is one of them. Trouble is, at my age, a lot of that is now stretching. Before sleep, after sleep, there is time for us to simply intervene into the life of others through God because we love them. Trick question, folks. Do you think that we could find the time to be intercessors? Christy, I'm waiting for you.
Yes!
Yes. Do you think we could find time, people?
Yes.
I think we can too. So what did Jesus teach his disciples to pray? That's interesting, isn't it? Verse 10. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So a good question is, what would earth look like if heaven came down and through prayer this world changed? That's a thought, isn't it? Now, I was going to ask you for suggestions and I piked out, I got scared in case I got some really curly ones. So I'll start it off. You know, who remembers watching those beauty pageants? Years ago, probably 20 years ago, they were televised and they would ask this beautiful woman, so what do you want in life? And she'd go, world peace. World peace. There's always the answer. It's like for Christians, God or Jesus is the answer. Well, for them, it's world peace. People of Sydney today would be praying for world peace. People of Palestine are praying for world peace. People in Myanmar, Burma, praying for world peace. Health. If you're not praying for health now, or someone's not praying for you, we all know someone who's praying for health. That world peace comes into our homes, doesn't it? What did they say last week? A woman every 9 days dies in Australia at the hands of a loved or past loved one. How could we change that? Because I'm sure that's not what it's like in heaven. Provision. A home over a person's head, food to eat that nourishes. There are so many things in this world that would be different if it reflected what heaven is like. And that is a great place to start at praying. But the great end is, but not my way, but your way, Lord. Eugene Peterson, best known for his modern-day translation called The Message, the Bible. But really, he was much more than that. He was a really great modern-day theologian. Says there are three prayer voices. And he says the first voice is the my voice. Remember Nemo? Mine, 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 mine. I want God to work around me. My world, and you come along and do this, do that. This is what I'm doing. Come along board. Hop on the train, God. It's the me voice. It's like treating God like a vending machine or some sort of magic genie that is there with more wishes than three. He says the last voice is the I'm not sure about God voice. It's like the prayer that is so insipid and so vague that God can't help but succeed. It's almost like we're asking Him in a non-expectational manner. We're almost disinviting God to be a part of what's going on in our world. But then He says, The real voice is the middle voice. It's the joining voice. It's where we ask to join with what God is already doing. It's not about me. It's not about the God that's almost impotent. It's about saying, God, you are there doing stuff. Help me to join in with what you are already doing. Follow his promptings. God's will, God's way. You know, his kingdom, when we put those things in place, it's sort of like a mighty flowing river. There's no point trying to swim against it. Just jump in and go with it. Could we pray if we treated it like that? Do you think we could put aside our mind voices? Do you think we could maybe get a bit more courage and a bit more faith in what God can do? Do you think we could just simply ask God, what are you doing and where do you want me to go with that? I think as a church we can. I believe we can. I even think I could do that. And I'm sure those listening online could do it as well. Finally, being an intercessor is actually about being in community. Hang on a second. I know Wayne's already gone, but you said that we're supposed to go in our room, lock the door, be quiet, and it's all between us and God. I could see it. He's nodding now. So let me try and explain it like this. I'm using limited words, so the spelling should be okay. Notice a lack of confidence in that. So in any good story, we've got God at the top, closely followed by us down the bottom. So the moment we do this, we've already got community. It's a little hard to see, but there is community. But there's so much more to intercession than that, because we've talked about, well, what's God doing? And we've talked about that it's not about us. Intercession isn't about us, but it's about others. Small piece of board, but you get it. So now that community is growing, isn't it? We've got conversation with God, and we're asking God to work with others. But it's actually more than that. Because you know the funny thing about intercession? When you ask God what he's doing, and he drops something in your heart, it is amazing the number of times it goes from our heart to our hands. I mean, we can pray for world peace. But what does that look like? I know God can do stuff, but God then has a way of turning around and saying, but what are you going to do about it? A great example of that at the moment in the life of this church, and I've asked Danielle and Joel for permission, is the journey that they have been on over the last few months. For those who don't know, Danielle was up here joint worship leading. Joel is our manager of our conference centre. That's good. I didn't write that down, so there, out the door, that one goes. And he was diagnosed with cancer in the pelvic bone a couple of months ago. And there have been many, many people interceding in prayer on the toilet, in the shower, over their cuppa and the tea. And some deep into the night, some early in the morning. And that's all good. But you know, that intercession, that community between us and God, has also moved into people's hands and feet. And there are people who could pay for 20 gardeners to go to their house, but they are getting their hands dirty and going doing the gardening and the lawns for them. Joel told me there was a person in Melbourne who made it their task to take him a good cup of coffee every day that he was in hospital. There are people who have joined the meal train, just trying to take some of the stress and pressure off the household. There are others who have given financially and have blessed them to take the pressure off what has been a time of unexpected financial pressure. You see, intercession is all about community. That's good for even for me. I must have realised I was running short of time. Community between us and God, us and others, God and them. Intercession, people, is not a big deal. It is not a complex problem. It's simply about us allowing God into our lives, saying, "What are you up to?" Expanding our heart, taking the time to remember and be fueled and to be refired and to be resuggested to, and then letting it work out through our hands and our feet. You know, sometimes that happens when people don't even know it. Like when the surgeon did the two hernias that he had told them he would not do, along with that same operation. There are things that happen in the spiritual that are called miracles. And that is incredible power. And there are things that happen in the practical. That's love. Intercession is all of that, and we do it in community. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you are not high and floating. You are not beyond reach. You don't ask us to do things that are impossible for us. You just ask us to be available. And Lord God, my prayer is that I would be better at this, and that each of my friends here before me would get better at this, and for those online would get better at this, that we might trust you, that we might believe that you know what needs to be done, and you know how that needs to be done, and that we might be courageous enough to believe that in the miraculous, you can do it, and in the practical, we can join you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what do? It's your turn now. So this is what I would like you to do. We're going to take 5 minutes, and that's not going to be a church 5 minutes where you just start and it stops. This will be 5 minutes. And what I would invite each of you and those online is to just come before God and say, God, what are you up to? If we were to bring heaven to earth, what would that look like, God? And then when that first thing comes into your mind, then I want you to start praying into it and have a conversation with God about it. Even if it's something you think you can't do anything about, he might be leading you to be one of those that are praying for the miraculous. He might lead you to pray for the practical and to be open to what that means for you. So can we just bow now right where you are. There's plenty of time. Let's ask God to speak to us, because he does, and he will. I know he will this morning. And when he does, follow it. Be an intercessor this morning.